Well, welcome to Radio Fishing. It's December 12th, 2013, and I've got my guest today is Captain Kale. Captain Kale and I are going to be discussing his adventures on the water and the just everything that's going on. We got crazy weather today, lots of wind and lots of problems, but I think it's going to be a good day overall, and we're looking in a great week, kind of getting in that Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
Good morning, Captain Kale.
Good morning.
It's you know, I'm kind of doing the Christmas spirit, but to be quite honest, I got a kind of a bummer going on. I got a birthday coming up.
Ouch.
You know, and
how old are you going to be now?
56. Yeah, and I don't know. It's not a bad one because it at least I'm, what, 26 and a half for the second time?
Yeah, 28 for the second time.
Yeah, okay. I was hoping for 26, but I'll go with 28.
Hey, you can't argue the math. Can't cheat it.
I know, but that's the age of my youngest, my daughter. My youngest daughter, Heather's 28. So anyway, so how's it been going? You've been on the water a lot.
Yeah, we've been running out there the last 9 or 10 days straight, and we've been doing good out there.
Yeah, so what you been doing? Taking people out in your boat? Or
Both my boat and on other people's boat. It seems like the majority of them is on other people's boat, which you kind of expect this time of year. These guys are coming down from up north with their boats.
But explain that. What goes on? Well, why are you on their boat, not on your boat?
We do three different types of trips on other people's boats. We have a harbor tour. We take a ring around the harbor, show these guys where they should and shouldn't be with their boats, and where our points of interest are at, where they can get fuel, take their wife to use the bathroom, go get lunch or dinner, stuff like that. Because
and what the names of the local places are?
Yeah, especially the local nomenclature, because things just don't make sense, you know?
I'm sorry. You know, we sit here in this radio show, and, you know, it's hard because with the big studio audience we got to dress up for this. You know, you just got to be all suit and ties, you know? You got to dress up, and we got this big crowd out here in the audience, and then Kale throws these $30 words at me. Now, I'm sure nomenclature means something.
Basically a nickname or what its name is or what it's referred to as.
Okay. All right. You know, so the nomenclature from the elephant's butt to
right. The elephant's mangroves. Butt. Mangrove Point, what it's really called.
Whorehouse.
Whorehouse Point.
Now, the Mayaca River, up the Peace River. You kind of go all around and show the different names and points of interest, where the bathrooms are, all that kind of stuff.
And teaching them how to navigate, because a lot of times, especially up our rivers, you don't have both your red and green markers.
And
then
thank
you've got
God.
The manatee signs
I,
up there
I
that throw them
off. I actually hate
and
markers on rivers and stuff. It makes me nuts.
Yep.
It's the only dangerous thing on the water. Yeah. I hate all these
and
stupid wooden pylons.
I hesitate to say we have a dangerous body of water, but we do have a challenging body of water, especially for these guys.
This is the safest place in the world to go boat.
It is the safest. You can't hurt anything.
I mean, you know, when I lived up north, it was all glacier-cut lakes right through granite and hard rock. And when you hit
hundreds of feet deep.
Yeah, and when you hit something, you really hit something.
Yeah.
Here, you're going to slide in the mud a bit. You're going to get on the sand. Worst thing that happens, you get out, you push yourself off.
Yeah.
Unless you're really goofy.
Right.
But so I'm going to go with the safest place I've ever boated is Charlotte Harbor. But it is challenging.
It is challenging.
Because there's a lot of shallows, and there's a lot of places where if you're not careful, you are going to end up on a sandbar.
And being from Pennsylvania, those same deep water lakes, shale, bedrock bottoms, you know, things that make mess of props and lower units when you hit them. But
I was on Lake Capacon with my brother-in-law, and Lake Capacon's up in New Jersey. Great. I mean, absolutely one of the most gorgeous places on earth. Not quite what we always think of Jersey, but going along, and he's got the powerboat, the IO, because IOs are real popular up there.
Right.
And all of a sudden, bam! And I'm like, what the heck? And I mean, hard rock just tore two of the fins off the prop. And I mean, and he's boating on the lake all his life.
Yeah.
So anywhere you go, you got troubles. But I love the sand and mud bottoms here because, boy, you can slide
you don't
a bit.
Hurt
now,
anything.
Speaking of sliding a bit, you were out the other day and you learned your boat makes a good sled.
Yeah, it does. I was really, honestly impressed at how well it worked.
How well it slid. Yeah. Oh, look at those birds.
Yeah, the SS Toboggan.
Those birds aren't swimming. Those birds are standing.
Who thought that you could go sled riding in Florida in the winter? But we got into some really shallow water, and I knew we were doomed. So, I pulled the emergency kill switch, trimmed up the engine, and it just kept going. It kept sliding across that mud, and it's what saved us from only having to pull it 25 feet instead of 100. So it worked to our advantage.
Right. So anyway, getting back, you go on charters on your boat, and you take people out. Yep. And now this afternoon you're supposed to be going out.
Right.
And that's, at this point, still a maybe because...
Yeah, still a maybe. We talked about one of our past shows about how I can be out there with my boat, and not just my boat, but other people doing it in high winds. But because of the geography of our harbor, a lot of us can run our shallow boats in behind that bar. We're protected from the waves. Not so much the wind, but the waves expend their energy on that sandbar, and it's usually flat.
They break flatter, before they get back right there. So
I can usually do that, but I've got everything going against me today. 7 people in the boat, counting myself.
Yeah, that's
a lot of weight. So
I'm not going to say you count for two, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm getting up there. And
I should do that. But I couldn't resist. Yeah, easy. I know. It was like, boom, gotcha.
I'll set them up. You shoot them down.
Okay.
we hit low tide later this afternoon when those winds are going to be at their highest. So I'm not going to have enough water to run in behind the bar. I'm going to have to be out there pounding at home if I go. And we do have a couple young kids.
Yeah, so. And it's just not good. It's not, and no matter how well your boat works or doesn't work, rough water is dangerous.
Yeah.
And the good thing about being with a captain is you've got enough experience on the boat to make up for those little tiny things that happen, and so you're a little bit safer. But let's face it, you know, who wants to get beat up? Who wants to get pounded?
You've got to draw the line somewhere. I don't want my clients to get hurt. They want a good, comfortable day on the water. They don't want to come home soaking wet and cold and, you know, tailbone sore and not feeling good. And I don't want to go home and have to tighten every screw and nut on the boat back again. So that's getting old.
So anyway, so you may or may not go out, but you've been out fishing around the Intercoastal Gasparilla Sound doing pretty good outside of the sled riding.
Yeah. We've been spending a lot of time out there hitting the whitebait hard out in Placida. So, you know, if you're out there to get whitebait, you might as well fish there.
And so, now, you had one of Captain Angel's
people
on your boat.
I did.
And Angel was your best buddy.
Yeah, yeah. And had a good day out there. Real good day.
So, what happened?
Well, we once again went out to Eldred's, loaded it up with bait. And I don't like getting bait with my clients on the boat.
Yeah, but you have no choice when you're all out there.
Yeah, you have no choice when you're out there. No, yeah, but he enjoys it. He loves watching that process. He's in awe of watching
throwing the cast net. Doing the chumming.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, one thing, just so people out there understand, because none of us want to get on a boat and have the captain go out and catch bait while you're on the boat. Now, one of the things that Cale and our guides do is if it's you're going to travel a long distance to go get this stuff, that time is not part of your fishing trip.
No, never.
That, you know, you're 4 or 5 hours of whatever it is not included in the time the captain has to catch bait.
Right, right.
Because
so
that would be...
If it takes me an hour to run to Placida...
I actually was on a captain who did that. And, I mean, it just made me nuts.
Yeah.
And I came back to the store, took tourist cards up, threw them in the garbage, and I said, you know, I'm never recommending this guy again because that's a rude thing to do. But anyway, you're out there, you caught bait, you had...
Yeah, had a good time.
Then where'd you go?
Well, we went... I don't know the name of that little channel that is right out there in front of Eldred's. Not the one that you usually run, but the one that has the houses on the back side of the island that takes you out to Gasparilla Pass. No idea what the name of that little cut is, but went in there and started fishing the docks. And got into some snapper. Little grouper. Wasn't happening at the pace I wanted it to happen.
Did you get any decent sheephead out of there?
No.
Okay.
But That being said, we didn't fish for them either. We didn't throw any shrimp.
All right. So now, so things are a little slow. So where'd you go?
Picked up and went over to the Placida Trestle. And that was where we were going to try and find some sheephead, maybe some snook. There'd been some really nice Spanish mackerel sitting in there the past couple of days. Ones and twos, nothing schooled up or extreme. Went over there, set up, and threw a bat full of chummers out there at the pier to try and get the snook wound up.
Mm-hmm.
Threw them out there, and nothing happened.
Nothing. Just
exactly.
Just quiet.
Exactly.
Okay, so what happened next?
Gave it about 10 minutes, loaded up the bat again, threw it out there. Nothing. Again. Yep.
Just
pack it up.
Okay.
Pack it up.
So I
against my better judgment, decided, because I give great advice, but I don't listen to it.
I'm kind of guilty of that. Go ahead.
So I packed the bat up again, threw it out there, and the water just exploded. Just erupted in fish. And, of course, the first thing that went through my mind was 10,000 snook.
Right.
Because you want that delusion of grandeur.
Right.
It better be 10,000 snook and a bunch of bull redfish mixed in here and there.
So what did happen?
Client throws the bait out, and it turns out to be, if I had to estimate the numbers, I would probably say at least 100 5 to 10 pound jacks.
Now that's fish. That's a lot.
That's a lot of fish.
That is the angriest, fightingest fish in the world.
And believe me, when I say the water erupted, it erupted. And he sat there with your normal everyday rod and reel, having a blast. And then finally I broke out the Fish and Frank's kid rod. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Got to hear a lot of that day. Handed him the little Fish and Frank's kid's rod and the little 2500 series spinning reel and a good 17MR mirror lure. And here, throw this for a while. This is going to break you. And after about an hour and a half, he laid down on the front deck and said, "I'm done. Take me home." Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm playing with sound effects today. I can't help myself.
Had just an absolute blast. And we actually had something strange happen out there.
Now, how did... you've been sitting there and saying, well, you were catching them with bait, and you did this, you did that.
Yeah.
And then you were throwing lures. Jacks don't do that, Kale. This is not normal for jacks. It's a hit. It's a drive-by. They're coming by, and they're doing 20 miles an hour. You hit them, and then...
Yeah. You get them... Unless, like, if you're inside the canals... And you get them chasing the bait down the canal wall,
right.
And you keep up with them. And
but they're still moving.
Sometimes it's even hard to keep up with them in the canals because you can't go fast enough to catch them.
Right.
So these things stayed.
So your story is complete bunk. You just, this is,
right.
You're,
right.
This was complete fabrication?
I was in awe. I was in complete awe. I couldn't believe, and I kept saying to myself, these things aren't going to last long. These things aren't going to last long. And they stayed, and... What had happened is the dolphins moved in.
And which is usually a horrible thing. Yeah. Once the dolphins move in, you're done.
Yeah, you're done. Move. Go find someplace else to fish.
Yeah, because Flipper's better at it than we are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And not only that, the fish don't like them either.
But that's what I'm saying. They go out, they catch, kill, eat fish. That's their job, you know.
Well, the dolphins moved in on either side of the trestle. And they had those sheephead pinned, they had those jacks pinned in there. They couldn't leave.
So here you are literally shooting fish in a barrel.
Shooting trout in a barrel. Shooting jacks in a barrel. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And I honestly thought that it would shut them down. They would stay there, but it would shut them down.
The fish gods of Poseidon are smiling on
you. Yeah, it was just
the
one of those
dolphins
days.
Dolphins bring them in so you could stay there, catch monster jacks, have a great time.
And as good as
how
I
long
like
did it
to,
last?
We fished them for a good hour and a half.
Wow.
And the guys would sit there and watch us both hooked up.
Right.
You know, I don't fish with my clients. The only times I fish with my clients is if something has gone horribly wrong and I'm trying to figure out why we're not catching fish here when I know we should. or right. I'm testing a lure, or they've asked me to fish with them.
Right. When you're by yourself on a charter, it's sometimes a lot more fun to have the captain and you, fishing
and,
together.
And he wanted me to fish with him, and we did. And we probably put 25, 30 jacks to the boat apiece. And people would drive by watching us hooked up and stop. See that they were jacks and move on. Now, if they had been snook or redfish, they'd have been anchored up 3 feet away from us.
And I don't get that because, honestly, jack fights better, pulls harder, does everything. If a jack crevel would learn to jump, if they would learn to jump out of the water, they would be the number one game fish in Florida the next day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was nice to have this guy. You know, I asked him at the dock, what do you want to fish for? Don't ask me that. I just want to bend a rod. Cool.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. You know,
you have fun, you catch fish.
He had a blast. I had a blast. It was a lot of fun. You see those dolphins, pen them up like that. You see something different out there. And as good as I would like to believe I am, it is always nice to have goofy, lucky things like that happen to you out there.
So sometimes, no matter how good you are, it's better to be lucky.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap this up. But what if you had a best bet for somebody in the next couple of days and they just wanted to bend a rod a little bit, where would you send them?
I think if you live and keep your boat up at this end of the harbor, I think right now the Peace River is hot, and later in the afternoon, early in the evening.
Which is great because it's going to be real rough going in the harbor, and you can always find safe haven in the river. But we're just about out of time here, so lots of fish up by I-75.
Lots of fish, ladyfish, tarpon, the whiting are up there, the silver trout are up there, plenty of juvenile redfish up there, and complain that you want that they're little rat reds, love them, and most of them multiple spots.
Well, anyway, this is Fish and Frank, and with the music we're gonna have to get out of here. December 12th, 2013, just a great time to be in Florida fishing. The rest of the country actually sucks, and it's beautiful in Florida, so
gotta love it.
You gotta love this. Captain Kale, we're gonna see you on the next Radio Fishing, and thanks for listening, guys. This is Fish and Frank.